What makes North Carolina Southern? It's a question that has been asked once a year by Our State magazine. This year's What Makes Us Southern is the August issue. For WNCW, I'm Pam Bunch. Our State magazine's editor-in-chief Elizabeth Hudson and Rutherford County native-turned-author Susan Kelly are happy to share some of the treats inside this very special issue. I'll let Elizabeth start.
You know, we like to take a North Carolina angle with everything we do. So about 4 years ago, we launched this concept to do a Southern-themed issue. We picked five words, you know, five concepts that we could create stories around that really just kind of epitomized what makes us Southern, especially here in North Carolina. The very first issue that we did had, you know, sweet tea in a mason jar on the cover, and we all went crazy for it. Readers really loved it, so we decided to make it an annual thing. And so every year we pick five words that just epitomize the Southern ideal. Well, you had to have grit. If you can see the cover, we have a bowl of grits with butter. But we are, our associate art director created the letters out of butter. This is not Photoshop work. This is an actual mold of butter. And we just put those and let them melt into the bowl of grits. And we've got a great essay about what grits means to North Carolina. You know, the entire concept of shrimp and grits really got famous right here in Chapel Hill.
Oh.
Got a great piece on tobacco barns, which is also written by Susan Kelly, who's here. Screen doors and what that means to the state and the South. Cheer wine, born and bred in Salisbury. Swamps, kudzu. It's just a really fun issue, perfect for summer.
Now, Susan Kelly is an author. And now I've got to go read some of your novels because I really, really love this article that you wrote on Roughton.
Thank you so much. I loved writing it.
It was really Roughton before I moved here, many years before I moved here. So fairly close to the way you describe it. But now it's way ahead of my hometown.
Is that right? Okay, good for Rutherfordton.
You know, there's one school.
That's right. Well, that's why I said in the article, when you have a town that small, everything is the place to eat. It's the high school, and it's the factory, the Ford place, the clinic where my friends worked. We didn't have to say it's, you know, Smith Ford or whatever. You just knew it was the Ford place. You didn't say Tanner, you just said the factory. So
yeah.
That's what makes small towns very unique in that way. There's only one of everything.
I loved it. Talk about some of the things that you described in growing up, because I'm certainly not going to speak for you because you wrote it so beautifully.
It was a unique childhood that I didn't realize until I got away from it. I didn't know there was anything to want other than those small things I wanted in the article, such as sidewalks and zoysia grass and to be a Methodist, until you get to the bigger pond, and then you realize you want other things like shoes or villagers or things that you didn't even have available to you in town. And I look back now, and I am nostalgic about it because I don't think people have those kind of childhoods so much anymore. There was nothing organized. I guess Little League and Girl Scouts, that was organized. But, of course, my mother was the Girl Scout leader. And we were just sent out. I spent a lot of times on bicycles. I spent a lot of time in the creek. We were going to junior choir, just as I wrote about in the article. We played croquet. We ran through the woods to our friend's house. It was a really lovely existence with very few requirements to be or do anything. And my children, they're adults now, but, you know, we could send them to the park, but I just couldn't send them down into the woods to, you know, build dams and build forts. And I look back now and wish I had that for them. And Rutherfordton is also very dear to me because since my parents left, I don't have reasons to go back and say, this is my bedroom and this is where I did this. And so it makes it doubly special to me when I write a memoria piece like this, because I can illustrate for them exactly what it was like to grow up in a small town. I've gotten lots of phone calls and emails since the piece came out with people who have a catch in their voice, whether they're from Dunn or, you know, some other small town, and say, that's exactly how it was for me, too. So it's not just being a small town in the mountains. It's also from a small town anywhere over the state.
And really over the country.
Well, I can remember when the first Hardee's came to town, and it was right up there near the high school. We called it Central. Now it's the middle school, but it was RS Central at the time, for Rutherford Spindale Central High School. And it immediately supplanted the Putt-Putt as the hangout place. And I hated that, you know, because I was used to just going down to the Putt-Putt and hanging out. And so those small increments of change that come were made me sad even when I was 13. I probably had the writer blood in me at that point and knew that one of these days I'd been writing retrospective pieces about the way things used to be.
I remember the most recent time I was in the church that you attended. It was such a lovely church.
Well, I didn't realize at the time what a special church it is. And here's a town of 3,000 that has two Episcopal churches in it, which is really unusual. But that church, I got married in it, and I got confirmed in it, and mostly I spent a lot of time being bored in it. But now I go back and look at this very ornate altar in this very small town, and the church was built by people who were summering there and wanted a place to worship. All the tombstones in the adjoining graveyard are all Coxes who were from Atlanta and, you know, had built this fabulous altar and pulpit and hand-carved and the Tiffany windows stuck in this little nowheresville. So it's really, you know, right down the street from, I don't know what that motel is called, but, you know, when I was back the last time, I went into all the nooks and crannies, our first little house on Carnegie Road, and, you know, I can't go back without doing that, partly to make me sad and nostalgic and partly to make me glad I'm in Greensboro. So anyway, it is a dear, dear church, but nevertheless, I wanted to be in that Methodist church at the time.
Yeah, that was where all the cool kids went.
That was. It was all the cool kids.
Well, it's a wonderful piece. And so I want to tell you, and I want to tell you as well, Elizabeth, that I absolutely love this month's issue of Our State.
We are so happy to hear that. Thank you.
Elizabeth, is it on store shelves yet?
Well, it'll be on newsstands July 30th, so it's gone to subscribers. They get it a little bit earlier, and it'll be for sale on newsstands, in bookstores, grocery stores, wherever you buy a magazine, pretty soon.
Very good. Thank you so much. Susan Kelly, the author of two of the stories in this, and Elizabeth Hudson, of course, the editor-in-chief of Our State magazine. Thank you so much. For WNCW, I'm Pam Bunch.